I'd like now to welcome to the program poets Tommy Archuleta and Christopher Johnson. They are two of the tres hombres, who will be reading their poetry on Thursday, May 19th at 6 in the evening at Collected Works Bookstore. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
So this Tres Hombres, how did this come together? Do the three of you work together as poets? Do you collaborate at all?
No, we don't collaborate. I think we're just three poets who wanted to have a reading, and one of us had a venue for it, being Phil, who's not here and works at Collected Works Bookstore, of course.
How did you find each other?
That's a good question. Well, I know Tommy and I met at school.
Mm-hmm. College of Santa Fe.
Where both of you studied.
That's correct, yeah, with Dana Levin.
Who was just on the show recently. And I guess she's quite an inspiring teacher.
Yeah, definitely. She's a very animated, often excited teacher. She's a great teacher. She's really excited about what she teaches, and I think when you're teaching, that's what counts the most. I mean, that's what gets other people to really get into it.
Is that when each of you started writing poetry, or have you been doing this all your lives?
No, I came late. I didn't start writing poems until 2001. Started to take it more seriously and then got enrolled at College of Santa Fe. And I entered there in the fall of 2004. Actually, Chris was towards the end of his undergraduate courses there, and he was wrapping up. We didn't really start talking seriously about that until Chris had left. And then later on, when Dana and I moved from College of Santa Fe over to UNM, Chris took a workshop, and we started, you know, just Chris is now a local by default or whatever, and so he's a Santa Fean, and so we would drive down together or drive back, and we just had these conversations. I had known Phil for some years prior to 01 when I got in, you know, started writing poems, and then as we started, I don't know, just doing more readings around town and whatnot, Phil, being a poet himself and such a pivotal role at the Collective Works Bookstore, he's like Dorothy's like sort of number one man. So
Dorothy Massey, the proprietor of Collective Works
exactly.
Bookstore, is wonderful and runs a great bookstore.
Yeah, she's very supportive of us, you know, up-and-comers, whatever, and literature in general. So she gave us a reading last summer, and that was the first Tres Hombres. And
was it the same three hombres?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. And that would have been the fall, I believe.
And you also, Tommy, have been working on the Muse Times 2 poetry series, which is also there.
Exactly, yeah, that became the home. And that was a conversation that Dorothy had with Dana, I think a couple years ago. They were kicking around the idea of having a quote-unquote serious poetry reading there, a series. And later on, when I entered UNM MFA program, they were letting me do some independent study work, and we were finally able to, you know, coordinate this series together. And so partially it's for course credit. And in the end, I guess we ended up bringing some more poetry to Santa Fe as a result.
Tommy Archuleta, would you like to read one of your poems?
I can, sure. Yeah. I was lucky enough to get this poem, which I actually started writing during my MFA program. I'm still there at UNM. This poem surfaced as a result of attending a reading that actually Dana was reading at the Church of Beethoven, this sort of very strange subculture of classical music adherents. And what they do is they invite poets to read, and they have poets read in between movements.
Yeah, it's amazing. They did one at El Museo, I think it was a year or two ago. It was quite a while ago. And they had a piece of, I think it was a classical quartet in several movements, and Lisa Gill read poetry between the movements. I'd never seen movements broken up that way in music before, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. I had never been there. I don't know if, Chris, if you've ever attended those readings or those performances. They're pretty amazing, and I had never been there. And they have a warehouse in the warehouse district in Albuquerque.
And yeah, I don't think they're doing it in Santa Fe anymore.
No, I know they have their own place. I had heard that they were going around and having performances elsewhere, but they're I'm sure they're still in existence.
So you wrote a poem called At the Church of Beethoven.
I did, and I was there in attendance with another colleague of mine, Nick DePascal, who's a great poet, and I've always been enamored of. I'm not being a father myself. A big part of the poem, its theme is fatherhood and my awe of fatherhood and the responsibility that takes. And so somehow that seemed to be a theme that the poem kept wanting. And just recently I learned that the Pleiades, a fairly well-known journal here in the States, picked it up.
Nice.
And so I guess it'll be coming out sometime next year. These things always take a long time. So there is an epigraph that I stole and had wanted to put in a poem. I felt like it was a germ of a poem from Schopenhauer, one of my favorite philosophers. And he wrote extensively about aesthetics. And it was his belief that music was the purest form of all the art mediums. And so the poem begins with this epigraph from Schopenhauer, which says, "The other arts speak only of the shadow, but music of the essence." To join verse in powder wig music, this is our pole star, says the usher. Rough not to picture a lily in the hair of a cobbler's daughter lounging on the queen's bed, debooting. I merely ditched my beloved solitude to be here tonight, whereas my friend, the human resourcer, gave up dozing off in a second-hand armchair holding his newborn son. To us, anything for the work of a decent dark surgeon tailing Haydn's last quartet. I still smoke, so I can't smell the faint scent of his day's worries riding his shirt, commingling with that of the boys. That mixture of awe and panic, laced with day-old violets, new fathers know all too well. A lone flycatcher hops from rafter to rafter for what? A better view? Someone up front with the ahem and sniffs of a critic between threats. The anti-heart attack shoes and gown of our wandering hostess. The old man down the row from us, scolding his right hand's inability to open and close freely. What here doesn't point to a prime mover, gold with pleas for its fold? Set out for the essence of a thing, knowing failure awaits you, says the cello, our shadows still mingling about the place, hats and capes in hand. A white moth wanders in off the street. The rest follow, and off we go to the sense of having Borealis here before. It took father a full year to even approach mother. Two, to learn how to walk directly into her eyes without tripping. Later, if not beneath the choir's first guitarist, you would have found me in the crying room, giving the altar boys the finger. Was that the birthplace of my beef with both ritual and tempered glass? Or was it out on the porch of the house in Pecos, looking into the kitchen, mother's mother, ordering God to move the cancer from grandfather's throat to hers? And this is what the nape of autumn's neck tastes like, says the oboe, to the vision of my friend's son at home fast asleep on the living room floor, his lovely wife on the couch she settled for, frightened for the first time in her life at the certainty of nightfall. None of you, says the viola, save the child, of course, can imagine life without me, much less the orchard miles north of here, the pickers at ease amid bushels of choke cherries, brooding over the day's take.
Tommy Archuleta. And once again, he and Christopher Johnson and Phil Geronimo will be reading on Thursday, the 19th of May, at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, Tres Hombres. Christopher, would you like to read a poem?
Sure. I have one right here. This poem is called The Quick Orchids My Hopes Is. The quick orchids my hopes is. They flourish to their environments, and yet are fragile things, coveted. They itch like dogs' wounds, and swim like fish or flop for breath. They augment my consciousness and domineer my lungs and chest with leaves and rocks. They fall off for present feasts, available flesh, a sudden instance or new reference, painful defeats. They make days and nights unfaithful clocks that short, lag, and surge. Handfuls I have forgot, stratagems, eyes, names, came and went like matchsticks. Others are pole stars. Will some remind themselves to terrible dreams? By hopes I've been aspens, or coiled upon floors as rope is, withered and went dormant, but sands them, and I am only stone and dumb conduit, just accidents.
Christopher Johnson. I'm sorry that Phil's not here, Phil Geronimo, because he also has some excellent work to contribute, but they'll be reading on this coming Thursday night. Is there in your lives, the two of you here, a poetry scene that you are part of where you're feeding each other, where you're feeding each other's work and growing not only from your own reading and your own inner process, but from your interactions?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I wouldn't limit that to just poetry, but so many people working on so many different things, whether it be poetry or prose or visual arts or performance arts.
You're part of Meow Wolf.
Yeah. And I don't know, there's just so much out there. And everyone has all this energy. It's really amazing, actually. And that all together, finding people that have a similar creative drive no matter the medium, I think, really feeds into it and generates ideas. I mean, really good ideas aren't just limited to any one art form, I think. So, yeah. And, I mean, certainly, even on the poetry aspect, I think Lannan, the Lannan Foundation, does a lot for poetry. Collected Works Bookstore has really been a forum for poets, especially. I mean, because not many places want to have a lot of poetry readings these days, but Collected Works does want to have them, and I think they do very well by them, too. So that just tells you people are not only creating their own poetry, going back and forth with one another about poetry, but there's people who are interested in poetry, too.
Readers and audience.
Readers,
readers,
people who enjoy poetry, who aren't necessarily getting their hands dirty onto the paper. Yeah.
Tommy?
Well, being born and raised here, and I guess being a musician, I've been in that milieu, still am, in this collaborative kind of mindset. And so,
What do you play?
Well, I'm a drummer. I've been a drummer for many, many years, and perform and record and all that. Mostly alternative, or what people years ago called punk music. I don't know what it's called now, but coming into being introduced to actually formally introduced to poetry. I mean, I think we all had our scrapes with poetry in school when we were young. I know I did, but I never really started delving into what it meant. You know, I had no idea that language could be that musical and that captivating and that mysterious. So what my love affair with it was late in life, and I could see pretty quickly, at least at College of Santa Fe, that those of us that were infected with this illness of writing poetry seemed to kind of, like, you know, we were sort of, writing in general is such a solitary act that it was really nice to know there was other people that were as sick as I was with this thing. And Chris was one of them. And so, I don't know. I mean, I just knowing Chris is around the corner, you know, schlepping coffee over at Downtown Subscription, and I see him, like, you know, on his breaks, pulling out the very same notepad he has right now, working and crafting pieces. I mean, that...
You're going to get me in trouble now.
That knowing Chris, and when I run into him, and when we have occasionally these readings, it's tremendously comforting for me. And I don't really go much for the whole Lennon thing. I think as I age, I find big deals more and more suspect. I rather prefer those of us that, I don't know, that are just doing this thing because we don't really have a choice, because we really enjoy it. And if people happen to like, even accidentally like what we do, I think that's a great thing. But I won't speak for Chris or Phil, but I get such tremendous enjoyment out of putting these things, for the most part, moving commas around. I don't know why it gives me a sense of purpose, but I don't want to lose that. And whether people like it or whether I get a book published or whatever, that would all be just as much icing as being offered the opportunity to read some work with some friends of mine at a really great independent bookstore. I'm not really out to make it. I don't really have high sights on becoming a great poet by any means. I just love doing it, and I enjoy teaching it, and I enjoy talking about it, mostly because it's really a lot easier than writing it. It's tremendously difficult to write it, but I don't think you're doing it right if smoke isn't coming out of your ears and nostrils. And
is that your experience as well, Christopher?
You know, it used to be. I don't know anymore. Now I'm pretty methodical. I do tons of drafts, one after another in the same day, and it's a pretty calm, steady process. But, yeah, there was times when I tore up pieces of paper, threw them in the garbage bin, yelled names at myself. But those days have kind of gone. I try to write in the mornings now. Instead of later in the day when everything has gone south.
Tommy Archuleta and Christopher Johnson are two of the tres hombres, along with Phil Geronimo, who will be reading their poetry on Thursday, the 19th of May at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. Thank you very much for being with us on Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.